Does God have a word for us from Jeremiah? I believe He does. And we are hearing these words, and thus we have a word from Jeremiah again, part two.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Today, another word from the Lord. Would you pray together with me? Father, thank You for our time together. And I simply ask, God, that You would enlighten our hearts and enlighten our minds with Your Word. And Lord, that Word would change us. And that today would be a day that we would look on and say, this is the day that God has changed my life. Lord, and I'll thank You for that. And we will give You all praise and give You thanks. In the name of Jesus, God's people agree. Amen, amen, and amen. Talking about the prophet Jeremiah, again, go with me to the book of Jeremiah. And I want to start actually in chapter 1 where we started last time, Jeremiah chapter 1, and just as a review. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I love that. Okay? I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. That is a fancy word for saying I have set you apart. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a child, for thou shalt go, do all that I shall send you to, and whatsoever I command ye, thou shalt speak. Amen? Amen. And God sent Jeremiah. God has called you and I. I'm just going to test your knowledge. What is a prophet, folks? Come on, Ministry Training Center people. What is a prophet? One that does what?
Speaks from the Lord.
One who brings forth a message from God. Now, again, on the other side of that, a prophet could be one that is foretelling what will come. And then a prophet can also just bring forward what God's heart is. And so, all of us are called to the ministry of reconciliation. So we are to bring forth this word of God, and we're not to make excuses. Well, I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't bring that. I can't. How many I can'ters do we have in the house today? We make excuses for what we can't do. Nobody's raising your hand. All right. How many of you in the past, I'm not saying right now, have said, I can't do that? All right. Now, how many of you that said, I can't do that, whatever that was, found out that you could do that thing? Yeah. I mean, I pick on Pastor Aaron a lot, but, you know, when he first came, he said, do you feel like I'm called to preach? I said, yes. And he said, I can't do that. It's just not within me. But I can, right? I can. And the same God is calling us to do with all these words. You know, Jeremiah, when you look at this in verse 5, God said, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Now, that meant that He had a word for them as a nation. But nations are plural, aren't they? How about for a nation that would be to come, the United States of America? Does God have a word for us from Jeremiah? I believe He does. And we are hearing these words, and thus we have a word from Jeremiah again, part two. And I want to look at three different things here today, and I've limited those because there's so many things that we can gather from Jeremiah.
But the number one thing that I want to major on here as a first point is God's heart longs for His children to come to Him. He really does. Now, we're going to go to a scripture, and this is why I said that this was confirmation. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, many of you have heard this scripture most of the time that you've been in the house of God. And oftentimes we have it on things. We have it on towels. We have it on things in our walls. We have it various different places. But I want to read this passage of scripture in the context that Jeremiah was bringing it. Jeremiah chapter 29 is where we are at. And I want to start in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. All right, let's back up just a second. Remember, Jeremiah was preaching a word to the Israelites to saying, repent, come back to the Lord. If you do not, what is God going to do? He is going to bring you into 70 years of captivity. Now, a lot of people find it hard that God would do that to His people. But God repeatedly has given us warnings after warnings after warnings. And He did it through the prophets, and He was doing it through Jeremiah. And then Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says to you. That after this 70 years, I'm going to visit you and perform a good word towards you in causing you to return to this place of Jerusalem and Israel. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. How many of you have read that before? And a lot of times we quote that scripture. And it's a great scripture. It really is. But let's put it in the context of what Jeremiah was referring to. He says, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. But then I'm going to visit you. And on the heels of that, that the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Now think about this. This was a people that repeatedly refused to acknowledge God, repeatedly refused to turn to Him, and God sends them into captivity. But the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. These are not thoughts of evil. How many of us, when God puts us into a situation where we feel like He is working on us, He's chastising us, that we're like pouting and saying, God, why are you doing that to me? Has there anybody in here ever been chastised of the Lord? And some people say, well, God would never do that. Yes, He would. You see, even to a backslidden condition, when we look at this, These people were in a backslidden condition away from God, and God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Now, if we were God, I remember John Harrison used to say, I thank God that I'm not God. Because if I was God, I would destroy these people. How many of us, if you were God and people kept continually going against you, you would just say, I had enough of you, you're done. Okay? There's one in the back, yeah? He's being honest. So I'm not dealing with you anymore. Be gone and just get rid of you. But God says, these are my people, and that's not what I'm thinking towards you. I'm thinking thoughts of peace towards you, even in the backslidden condition. You see, God's heart longs for His children to come to Him. And whatever the case, you know what? Verse 11, when we look at that, He says, not thoughts of evil, not thoughts of getting rid of you, but thoughts of bringing you back to a place with me. And I want to tell us, this word today is for us because how many of us have messed up a time or two? How many of you messed up this year sometime? Oh, wow. How many of you messed up sometime in the last 6 months? Yeah, it's getting good here. How many of you messed up in the last week? All right, I'm not going to go any further than that. Right? Some of you say thank you. This word is for us, the messer-uppers. Even when we know better, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. My plan is not to spank you and beat you until you can't get up again. That's not God's plan. Are you happy about that? It's not His plan. His plan is to bring you back to Him. And not to punish you and just continue to punish you. You know, again, how many of you have heard the people say, well, you know, God's just going to hit you with a big hammer. You know, He's just going to destroy you. That's not the heart of God. Especially, He's talking to His people here. Now, we like to think that, well, these are just backslidden people. You know, they don't want God or anything. He's talking to His people. And the word from Jeremiah is, my heart longs for you to come back to me. So when we mess up, we should fess up, and then God, I want to come back because this is the plan that you have for me. See? Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your hearts. You see, it's a true heart of repentance here that we're talking about. It's not just, God, I'm sorry that I got caught doing this. Right? It's God, forgive me. I come with a true heart of repentance to say, God, clean me that I might continue in this relationship with you. And God is faithful to do that. He really is. And we look at this, it's a confirmation that Peter brings in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, when it's talking about that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise of coming, but He is, what? Long-suffering. And He's not willing that any should perish. So, contrary to what most of us maybe have believed at one time, that God is just ready to just get you anytime you make a mistake. He's not. His heart is. Look, I love what Jeremiah 29 says there. To give you an expected end. You know what the expected end was for the people of Israel? To come back. To come back into their land. To enjoy Jerusalem again. To enjoy the fruits of it. That was the expected end as far as God had in His mind. What is that expected end for us? That we would enjoy the fruit of relationship with God and relationship with Him. And so I want to bring that first major point that His heart longs for His children to come back to Him. You know, God is not sitting in heaven when you make a mistake saying, I was waiting for that. Now you're going to get it. That's not God. That's not His heart for His children. It really isn't. You know, I know, growing up as a child, and some of you probably had fathers that might have been a little bit harsh. I understand that. My dad, all he had to do with us was what, Rick? He'd look at you. And I mean, you felt like you were getting beat right there, you know? And you felt like, man, I'm going to get really, really punished here. How many of you ever deserved punishment? Wow, I'm surprised you raised your hand. Because a lot of times, I didn't deserve it. We did. But God's not bringing you into these kinds of places, and especially sometimes captivity, because he's trying to teach you a lesson. He's chastising you to bring you back to him. His heart longs. So always understand that his heart longs to bring us back. That's why my pastor years ago used to always preach about the hound dog of heaven. Anybody know who the hound dog of heaven is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Some of you young folks, you've never heard that term around the Pentecostal circles. But the hound dog of heaven was that Holy Spirit that when you do something that you ought not to be doing, that the Holy Spirit jumps in there immediately and says, What you doing? And if he doesn't get your attention, he says what? What are you doing? And you begin to feel, how many of you have felt that conviction of the Holy Spirit? That conviction is to bring us back to the things of God. Sometimes God must use chastisement to bring us back to him. But that's not his ultimate plan for us, is it? His ultimate plan is that we come to him. Hebrews chapter 12. Jump over to Hebrews. Hold your place there in Jeremiah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. I like that too. Don't faint when you're rebuked of the Lord. Sometimes it feels like we're going to, right? That conviction is so strong. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? Then I want you to move down. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. A lot of people do not understand verse 13, but let me make it very clear to you that what God is saying is come back and repent and make your feet straight. Start going the way that God wants you to go. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of doing something, don't turn around and keep doing it. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, stop it. If you're watching a television program and ungodly language comes on or ungodly scenes that are in that, and the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? Well, I'm just checking to see if this actually is bad. The Holy Spirit says, no, that's not godly. Don't continue to watch that because that grieves the Holy Spirit of God within you. Or whatever it is that the Lord begins to deal with you, stop doing that. It's not that difficult. Make your path straight. Make your feet straight. Don't keep doing it. Because the Lord is dealing with you as his children. Shall I continue on with that point? It's very important that we get this. When the Spirit of God is convicting us, pay attention and make your path straight. Now, we're going to move on with another thing that Jeremiah is telling us. I actually have three things. Now, Jeremiah chapter 32. I remember I told you last year that, not last year, last week, Probably told you last year sometime too, just don't remember. Jeremiah didn't have a peachy time because he was preaching the Word of God. Matter of fact, he got into a lot of trouble for preaching the Word of God, and we're going to see it here. Jeremiah chapter 32. The word that came from Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Wherefore does thy prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it." Do you understand what happened? Jeremiah was preaching something he didn't want to hear. And he was saying, this city's going to be taken. I'm telling you, if you don't repent, the city's going to be taken. And what did the king do? Threw him in jail. You're going into my prison, in my palace, so you can keep your mouth shut. Again, when God tells you to do something, how many of us are going to pout when things don't go right after you start doing it? Jeremiah could have pouted, right? What in the world is going on here? I'm preaching what you told me to preach. Now I get thrown in prison. He's in prison, and then some words come from Jeremiah. And I love this. As we move on down in this same chapter, he's in prison, and this is what he writes. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now, they're already in captivity by now. They've been in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar is over them. They're in bondage, but now Jeremiah speaks a word from the Lord and says that once again houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed in this land. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Does it sound like a song we sing? Yeah. Right? Years and years ago, Oh Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Did I get the words right, Kath? Here's the thing. And he ends it up by saying, nothing is too hard for you. Point number two. Nothing is too hard for God. You show loving kindness to thousands, verse 18, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers to their children. Great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now, things may seem impossible. Now, they were going to be in bondage for 70 years. That's a long time. Some of us in here have lived 70 years. And plus, right? Is it a long time, Patty? 70 years they were in bondage. And sometimes when you have been in a situation for such a long period of time, we can begin to think, not going to change. It's not going to happen. And especially when we have been there and we continue to pray, we continue to pray, we continue to pray, and it just seems like nothing is happening. Anybody been there before? And sometimes, you know, it can get a little discouraging. But the Lord is telling us, and he's giving us this promise. And Jeremiah has given a word to the people there to say, nothing is impossible with God. those 70 years, you've been in this bondage, they've been the same way. I'm telling you, God is going to release you. And I think the word that God is bringing unto us, many of us have many people in our lives that we have been praying for, and it just seems like nothing is happening. And you've been praying for them for a very long time. Jeremiah wants to say to us the same thing, and there is nothing too hard for this great and mighty God that we serve. And as hard as it is for us to hold on to that, we have to remind ourselves of that on a regular basis. And again, you know, we come to scriptures like this. And sometimes, even though we know it, sometimes we kind of give up on it and say it's never going to happen. God wants to remind us again today of who He is. The great and mighty God. The one that can change anything at any time. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? How about death? Didn't God raise somebody from the dead? He's sitting right here in our midst. I want us to remember, is there anything too difficult for God? Can God change situations in your life? How many of you can testify to that? That He's done that for you. God does not want us to forget about this. With God, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, if you jump over there with me again. Again, don't lose your place in Jeremiah because we won't keep coming back to that. This particular scripture, some of you may be familiar with. Are you ready for it? You may not have ever seen this before. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus to His disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus beheld them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now we can get all tied up into that whole camel going through an eye of the needle, and there's various different interpretations of that down through the ages. And with our minds, we're thinking, there ain't no way that could happen. But with God, all things are possible. Why? Because He doesn't think the same way we do. With God, anything is possible. My goodness, if God said He wants a camel to go through the eye of a needle, let me ask you this, could He shrink the camel to go through the eye of a little tiny needle? Sure He could. He could do anything. Because with God, all things are possible. With men, we cannot fathom it, nor can we think about it. But with God, it is possible. Now, don't get off thinking about God, "Honey, I shrunk the kids," okay? Don't think about that. We don't have that in Scripture that God did that anywhere, but with God, all things are possible. And God just wants us to remind ourselves today, when you think of a situation that is impossible, can anybody think of one right now in your life? The situation that, I mean, it literally on the surface seems impossible for it to take place. I mean, in our minds, it's gone so long that, well, I don't know whether it could ever change. But God says, "I know. Because with me, all things are possible." All things. Back in Exodus chapter 14, I'd like to go back here again because this is Moses and the children of Israel. And Moses is reminding them in verse 13, chapter 14, Moses said to the people, "Don't fear. Stand still and see the salvation of God, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Stand still and see the salvation of God. Because let me ask you this. Who's doing it anyway, you or God? And God is asking us to do the exact same thing. Here's the word from Jeremiah. Is there anything too difficult for God? That's the question He's asking us today. I don't care where you're at and what seems like there is nothing too difficult for our God. And He will make a way if you stand still and see the salvation of God. I want to make an announcement today. And I want to give a praise report. And I want to testify that I did not do what I just preached. And standing still and seeing the salvation of God. How many of you know that Laura and I have been trying to sell a house out on Cherry Run Road in Grafton? And for months and months and months, and legal stuff after legal stuff after legal stuff, still problems. And I know this word, but for the first month that Laura and I were gone, every day I was on the phone calling and talking to someone and trying to make something happen. And one day, the Lord chastised me and said, "What you doing?" "Well, you know, God, I have to be like that woman that continues to pound on the king's door. I got to do that to make sure that that king's going to answer." And the Lord said, "Oh, really? What about stand still and see the salvation of God?" I told Laura that morning, "I'm done. The Lord's convicted me." She said, "You're not going to call anymore?" I said, "Nope." And I dropped it. 9 days later, all the paperwork came in, the house closed, and the house is sold. I want to give God praise for that. Amen? Amen. I want to give God praise because He is faithful to His Word, but I particularly think I may have been in the way of all those things happening. Because I was doing what? Trying to do it myself. Instead of with God. All things are possible. Let Him fight your battle. "Oh, but Pastor, no, I have to do it. I have to be in there on it. I got to make it happen." How many make it happeners do we have in here? We are just constantly pushing to make it happen. The Lord taught me again, stand still. And see the salvation of God. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. Not your battle, folks. One last thing. I don't know, I'm getting my toes stepped on here this morning. You stand still and you let God do the deliverance. Jeremiah gets out of prison. Temporarily, because then in chapter 33... I want you to see this here with me. And this brings us to our last point. When you truly call on God with a heart willing to listen to Him, He'll answer you. And I say this because oftentimes we call on God, but we're not willing to listen to Him. We just want to bring something to Him. And we want you to do something about it, God. But I'm not really here to hear what you want to say to me. I'm just here because I want to bring something to you. Anybody been there before? Well, no hands? One hand, two hands. It's true because we do this to God. We just bombard Him with things, but we're not willing necessarily to listen to what He has to say to us. Jeremiah chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Anybody ever heard that scripture before? The Lord speaking this to us right now. For thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the nation, by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury for all those wickedness that I hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and to build them as it was in the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do to them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness, for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the voice of them shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord, for I will cause the return, the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Now I want you to understand, come back to this. This is what the Maker, the Lord, says. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. When we truly call on God with a heart willing to listen to Him, a heart of repentance, God will answer you. Is God's Word telling you the truth? Is God's Word telling you the truth?
Yes.
Call unto me, and I might answer you. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I can recall years and years ago a very tough situation in my life. And I remember going into a church and nobody was in there. It was during the week. And I just got down before the Lord and I was praying. I said, God, your word says here, call unto me and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things, but yet I'm not hearing anything. I did that for hours in that church. I said, God, why aren't you answering me like you promised? And it took me a while to figure out that what I was praying is what I wanted God to do. Because we get things in our mind of how we think it should play out. How we think it should work. How we think God should do this. And we spend hours telling God what to do. Sometimes we even quote His Word in there. But when we finally come to that place where we say, God, I give up. You speak to me. You tell me what your heart is for me and where I need to go. And after hours and hours, finally that broke through, that it was something that I needed to change. I needed a change of heart. And God was working in me. But don't ever say, well, God, you're not listening to me, because God does listen to us, folks. Does God hear His children?
Yes.
He absolutely does. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, or verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So according to this, does God hear his children? He hears the righteous. And so oftentimes we cannot say, "God, you promised that you will hear me and you will answer, but you're not answering me." Could it be that we're only praying what we want God to do? Or maybe we may not like the answer that we get from God. But he will answer us if we call on him with a pure heart and with a heart that is repentant and submitted to his authority of what you want to do in my life. And so, as I've learned from experience and probably will continue to, Patty, learn again and again, call on me and I will answer you. It may not be what I want to hear, but it's what I need to hear from the Lord. Amen? So I want us to pay particular attention to these things that Jeremiah has brought to us. God's heart longs for his children to call on him and come back to him. There isn't anything too difficult for God. And when you call on him, he is going to answer when you call on him with a pure heart. Father, thank you for again bringing us this heart of Jeremiah to us. And I pray that you would help us to change in whatever direction you need us to change, God. Give us a heart change and to stand and wait upon you. And we will give you the praise and give you the honor for that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.